Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I mean, that's just something I picked up as a freshman. You know, I wasn't trying to be outside the box or anything like that. That's just something I always did. And, you know, I thought that was something that I always just wanted to show off, that I was prepared. Like, I didn't try to not be myself, you know, at the end of the day. You know, I try to prepare better than anybody else. But I also try to learn as much as I can. So, I mean, that's just me. I'm not in here for likes and follows, you know what I'm saying? I'm here because I love football and I just want to help this team win.
That is Bills first-round draft pick Kyer Elam. He was in town with the rest of the rookies. Had their rookie minicamp Friday and Saturday. Friday's was open to the media to watch. Our Sal Capaccio was on hand. So a couple things. One, if you want to see Sal's recap and some video clips in the story as well, it is posted online at WGR550.com. Sal was also on with us this morning at 7 o'clock talking about the rookie minicamp. Mr. Elam, Mr. Cook, Mr. Shakir. Unfortunately, the punt god, well, he punted, but not in view of the media. So we can't tell you, you know, that there was like some 85-yard punt. Sal was on at 7 if you want to go listen to that. It is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Okay, going to do a little football, a little over-and-unders as we continue to talk football, over-unders and all that stuff.
Win by totals, the way, huh?
8:30, we'll be talking more about football betting with Dave Mason from betonline.ag. Yes. I love my under. I have to nail down an over here really quick. Go ahead. Set it up and I'll nail down my over.
Well, okay, so over under win totals, you know, the Bills number's pretty high. Think about over under win totals. You'll never get one too high or too low, right? Like, there are 17 games. No one's ever going to be almost a 14.5, because over 14.5 is tough. Like, the biggest number, the Bills are 11.5. You have to have some people betting on the over side of that. So the number's got to come down a bit. 11.5 seems still kind of low.
It does to me.
And the lowest number I've seen is 4.5 for the Texans, the Falcons. So understanding some teams might finish 2-15 or 3-14, that's the idea. And some teams might finish 15-2. So your favorite over or your favorite under on a win total in the NFL this season?
I love the Bills.
Over.
11.5 is what? Bills and Green Bay are the two at 11.5. That's mm-hmm. the highest, as you mentioned.
I think the Bucks are 11.5 too.
Oh, were they? I'm sorry, yep. I missed them.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry about that.
The AFC West is around 10.5.
That's what I
Chiefs,
wait to see.
Chargers, they're 10.5.
Broncos are
10.5. I'm seeing that. Yep.
Not the Raiders. The Raiders are 8.5.
Yep.
But that's three teams at 10.5 for the over under in the same division. Just that can't be that common. I love the Bills. Really, at 11.5. And you know, don't worry about pick the Bills and everything. I know 14-3, whatever. I mean, for them to go 11-6, a lot of bad things have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know, right, the schedule looks tougher. Maybe some of the quarterbacks are better. I mean, 11-6 would be like, I don't want to say someone has to get injured. I don't want to mention which guy. So I love the Bills at 11.5, take the over. That's not just being a Bills fan. I think it's a smart bet.
Well, let's say you think the Bills are going to...
They're going to go no worse than... Worst case scenario,
4-2
in the division.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario.
Worst case. And that means outside the division, you're going to go 7-4.
Can you get 7 wins outside of the division?
That's 11 right there. That's, you know, who are you losing to of those non-conference
teams? Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to go 8.
You got to go
8-3 outside of the division.
8-3 outside of the division. You're playing the Bears. You're playing the Lions,
the Vikings.
Like, those are three games that
right.
It'll be hard to put it this way. As you picked the Bills, you picked them Friday. You know, we didn't talk about it. We probably should. which games on the schedule are the swing games for the Bills.
Yeah.
The Bears are never getting to the status of swing game. I would be surprised if the Lions get to the status of a swing game where you change back and forth, right? The Titans have been that the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The Saints, feels like last year going into that game, you know, the Saints moved a little bit here and there. Early in the season, they get off to a decent start. Then it becomes Trevor Siemian. You know, as Howard picks the Bills, it's a living, breathing thing each and every week. There will be games you move back and forth, but it feels like the Bills are at a level, Howard, where the swing games are now the top games. Green Bay is the swing game.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas City might be the swing game. The Rams might be a kind of game that you go back and forth on. It's no longer the teams that are in the middle that are the could go either way. Now it's teams at the top.
I put down three swing games. If you really wanted to break the Bills schedule down, all right, let's say they go 4-2 in the division, and that's worst case scenario. It's not a question they roll the division again and go 6-0, but let's go 4-2. I'll give you a worst case scenario again. They split the AFC North, right? They're playing the Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals, the Ravens. Let's say they go 2-2. NFC North, they're going to beat the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears. So let's say they lose to the Packers. Worst case scenario is 9-5. And that leaves three swing games, Titans, Rams, Chiefs. Now, that there's your argument for the under. You would say, okay, Howard, 9-5 and three games left. They'd have to sweep the Titans, the Chiefs, and the Rams. That's the way you would get. Okay, so 11-6, take the under. But that's worst case scenario. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to lose a combined four games in the division and the AFC North games. So that's why I would say, to me, a 12-5 is the worst case scenario for this team, barring a crazy run of injuries. So that's why I feel confident taking the over with the Bills. My other over that I like, actually, non-Bills related, is Indianapolis at 9.5 with Matt Ryan. I don't think Ryan's shot. I think Matt Ryan last year played with very few weapons in the passing game. I mean, by the end of the season, you would have been hard-pressed to name anybody in that receiving core of worth, not name Kyle Pitts.
Right. They lose Calvin Ridley unexpectedly. It's
right.
The kind of thing they can't exactly recover from on the fly.
Right. So I think he was kind of dealing with a bad situation. The Colts were one of the hotter teams in football and were the, hey, you don't want to meet Indianapolis, and then all of a sudden down the stretch they collapsed. They're going to get better quarterback play than they did, of course, from Carson Wentz. They still have a good offensive line. They still have Jonathan Taylor. They have a better quarterback now for their passing game. I still think their defense is good. They've got a stud at each of the three levels, defensive line, linebacker, and in the secondary, really good players. And I like Frank Reich as a coach. So I think Indianapolis is winning that division. I think the Colts with Matt Ryan, you would take over 9.5. So I would bet them.
All right.
Who's your over?
My over. My favorite over. I mean, you picked the Bills, so I'll try to go somewhere else. But a team that I'm bullish on this year, I would pick Baltimore.
Yeah, I had them listed, but with them and Indy were my two other teams.
They
listed.
Won eight games last year.
With
nothing.
Crazy stuff going on.
Yep.
They're not going to have, knock on them for them, are they going to have the run of injuries they had in the secondary and the running and the backfield?
The problem they run into is the same that the AFC West is. You know, we probably give too much credit to the West for being so balanced. The AFC North is...
It's tough top to bottom.
Who's the worst team?
Yeah.
It might be Baltimore.
Could
it might
be the
Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
Might be Pittsburgh. Might be Cleveland.
It's hard to say.
Like, top to bottom, it's a pretty darn good division. Pittsburgh would have a playmaking defense and good weapons. There's, of course, questions at quarterback. So I
wonder about Cincinnati. Do they take a step back? Are they a legit, real football team?
How about their numbers only 9.5?
That looked really appealing as an over, but then I thought, okay, there must be some skepticism that maybe they hit a good stretch and they're in a difficult division and maybe Cincy comes back to the pack a little bit.
It's the same as Baltimore, 9.5.
Yeah.
My favorite under is probably Seattle.
Okay.
5.5. They're going to lose a lot of games.
Not a big believer in Drew Lock and Geno Smith, huh?
No, they've got good receivers. They don't like throwing to those receivers.
Those poor guys. Imagine how they're going to be miserable this season.
We'll see. Like, there's talk that they're already looking to lock up DK Metcalf with a new contract.
Good luck.
Yeah. I like Seattle. It's a low number, but I do like that under. And the other under I might like, actually another over. Give me Jacksonville over 6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me Jacksonville. Spent a lot of money. Trevor Lawrence did have some flashes. I want to go Ralph Kruger theory where they're going to win four games just by not having Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doug Peterson can get them the other three. And then I'm over. I only got to get to 7. 7 and 10. That's not even that good.
Right.
So I kind of like Jacksonville over, Baltimore over. You mentioned the Bills.
How about Houston? 4.5.
It's tough.
Yeah, but the quarterback got better as the season went
on. He did.
He was asking for 5 wins.
Their coach last year, David Culley, they were better than people expected last year.
Yeah.
In fact, not only did they win more games than people thought, they lost a game to the Patriots where
they won that game.
Yeah.
That's the game I was thinking of because I remember watching that game.
The Texans were more competitive than people thought they'd be. Now they've got Lovie Smith as coach and Davis Mills.
5-12?
It doesn't seem too tough.
It's not a big ask. All right, you ready for my big under?
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Under 10.5?
Yep.
Their schedule is a gauntlet.
Here's Kansas City. All right, so 10.5 over under. We know they're going to play their 6 division games against Denver, the Raiders, and the Chargers.
Right. Will they lose 2 of those? 4-2 would be good.
That would be good. All right. And outside of that, their games also are so inside the division. And then they play the Rams, the Bucks, the Bengals, and the Titans are all on their schedule. That's 10 really challenging games.
Yep.
And all I need to do is get Kansas City to 10-7. I'm going to take the Chiefs under.
Is that 10 games against playoff caliber opponents?
Yeah.
No, that's more than 10 because it's...
Well, no.
The division has at least, what, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Raiders made the playoffs last year.
Right.
So that's 6 games against playoff caliber teams in the division. And the other ones you just mentioned, that's 11 games.
I mean, they play Arizona, but it's the opener and they don't have Hopkins in the opener, so maybe that's not a heavy lift. They do play the Colts, who should be better with Matt Ryan. They play their crossover NFC is the NFC West. So, Rams, Cardinals, not the Seahawks or nothing. Niners might be challenging. It's a really difficult schedule inside the division and outside the division. It's not a heavy lift, I don't think, to get Kansas City to 7 losses. And remember, last season, I mean, their offense had some issues at times. There's no Tyreek Hill. Let's see what happens in their receiving game. When they're Pat, what's the impact? Is Travis Kelce more stoppable because you don't have to worry about trying to stop 2 guys that are elite at their position? And their defense was up and down last year. They suffered a couple key losses in their secondary. So I don't have a problem. I think Kansas City, you might look at it go nuts. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Kansas City. I think you throw all that stuff together, and I can get them to 7 losses. So I would take the under for the Kansas City Chiefs. The other team I was thinking about for an under, who's quarterback? San Francisco, anyway. 9.5 for San Francisco. Depending on what's going on with their quarterback situation, Garoppolo's still there. Is it Lance is going to be the starter, isn't he? Is Garoppolo going to get traded? I'm just operating on Lance is going to be the starter. They move on from Garoppolo. I could get San Francisco to under 9.5 he's not a rookie quarterback, but a quarterback starting for the first time. But I think Kansas City is my strongest. My gut feel for the unders goes to Kansas City. San Francisco was my second choice.
It's hard to figure Kansas City out because they completely, retool. They get some weapons on offense. They draft high on defense, mm-hmm. a couple first rounders. They move on from Tyreek Hill. I'm trying to think of the best example of what this is, a team moving on from a player that good, no matter how successful they are in building up the other pieces, they'll still be a different version of what they were.
Can't use Houston here, right? Because, I mean, Houston did trade Hopkins. But we knew Houston was going to – I don't know that Houston would have been a playoff team if Hopkins wasn't traded off.
Yeah, that trade was pretty much panned right away.
Yeah.
And the thought was Houston's going to be worse because they got rid of Hopkins, and they were. With Kansas City, it's more of a – It seems like even though they traded a player of his caliber, Tyreek Hill, that there were plenty to say, hey, you know what? It makes sense, and it looks pretty good. They got a lot in return. You know, they didn't trade him for a running back. They traded him for picks. They used those picks on a defensive back, a defensive end in the first round.
And they needed help in those areas.
Yep.
I want to say, didn't they lose is Traverius Ward? He left in free agency, right? Matthew retired. And their secondary.
No, Matthew's in,
he's not in Kansas City.
He's in New Orleans, right?
But he left Kansas City, right? Just signed with the Saints last week.
Yep.
So they had a couple key losses in their secondary. Ward was their best cornerback. Matthew was a heck of a safety for them. So I just think you put all these pieces together. And it just, to me, it's a real tough road for Kansas City with the improvement of the teams, with the Chargers being who they are, with Denver getting Russell Wilson. I'm not as high on the Raiders as some people are, but you know, you have to respect some of the moves they made to help out Derek Carr, including coaching. So I just think Kansas City is really going to have and they struggled at times last season. They were not the juggernaut last season that they were a couple years before.
All right. That's a team that they were like a little bit of the opposite of the Bills, where the Bills were really bad in one score games. The Chiefs record in one score games for, I mean, the last couple of years has been really good. It wouldn't take much to see them lose a couple one-score games, and you can see it in October, Howard. What's wrong with the Chiefs?
Right.
It happened last year, right? Weren't they under 500? They're 3-4, 2-4?
They got off to a slow start, finger quotes, but because they were losing like 34-31, 31-28. Their defense was playing like crap. It was giving up 30-plus points a game. So, yeah, there was that stretch where in the first month, a little over a month, they were having problems in Kansas City last year.
Meanwhile, one of the reasons they did turn around defensively was adding Melvin Ingram to their pass rush and their defense.
Yep.
He's going to Miami.
Yeah.
Happened just this past weekend, a little bit yesterday, I saw.
Yeah, agreed to terms.
So Melvin Ingram to the Dolphins. It's a nice signing.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good depth piece for them. Ingram didn't have, like, the deal on him was he didn't really have sack stats.
Except when he played the Bills.
No, but he really, I'll have to look up how many he had last year. I think it was a pretty small number. But when he came in, he had an impact in a rotational role on their pass rush. Like, his presence did help out the rest of the defensive line. I don't think he had big sack numbers, though, last year.
I'll pull him up because he terrorized the Bills in the opener.
Oh, in the opener.
Yeah.
But with Kansas City, you getting his numbers?
He had, he didn't have a sack in the opener. Feels like he sacked Josh 10 times.
Yeah, I thought he was all over the place.
It was Hayward and Watt, right? And Melvin Ingram, too. He had two hurries.
Yeah.
That's it.
He didn't really do much sack-wise in Kansas City. But
no, you're right. He had two sacks on the season.
Not a lot, but it's affecting. This is where I'm going to go Sean McDermott on you. It's affecting the quarterback, and he was still good at affecting the quarterback. And on the line with the other pieces they had with Clark and Jones and all the other pieces, he was a nice add for Kansas City's defense. Remember, look, like I said, the first month of last season, the Chiefs' defense was hot garbage. And they pick him up, and they got a little more. They got better play in their secondary, and they stabilized as the season went on. So I think that's a nice piece to add for Miami. Would you be worried as a Bills fan? By the way, thanks for not making me repick the Bills because Melvin Ingram. Would you be worried as a Bills fan? No, I don't think that swings anything you would think of Miami's role in the division. But that's a nice piece to bring into their defense.
Speaking of Miami, a story I just came across cross sports here. NHL and NBA, I just want to mention this because it's funny or whatever it might be. Tim Reynolds tweeted this out a moment ago. Associated Press NBA writer, Tim Reynolds. Do you also play baseball? Is that name? Where's the name Tim Reynolds?
I don't have a Tim Reynolds for you. It doesn't ring a bell for me.
Anyway, he tweets out, yeah, guitarist. Okay. That's where the name. Okay.
Right.
Anyway, he tweets out about the Heat and the Florida Panthers. That the NHL put every Panthers home game at the same time that the Miami Heat are at home.
Hmm.
And that includes...
That's crazy.
That includes a back-to-back. They have a back-to-back so they can catch up to the NBA. So game one and two are tomorrow and Thursday.
Yeah.
And then in the NBA, they skip a day.
Yeah.
And the Lightning and the Panthers have a back-to-back in their series that puts the home game for Florida back on schedule with the Heat. They have four home games, and all four would go up against the Heat.
Wow. First off, should they care? If so, why don't they care? Do you think the NHL even checks that stuff?
I don't know if they check that stuff. Maybe there are arena engagements booked, and it's impossible to do it any other way.
Okay, so they had no choice to go head-to-head? They are in separate venues, of course. The Panthers and the Heat do not play in the same building.
Right.
They're not even in the same city.
They can't. I mean, if they play in the same building, they definitely would not be playing on the same night because it would be a little crowded.
But, I mean, the Heat are downtown, and the Panthers are up in Sunrise. So I was thinking could you just switch the Panthers series with the Rangers series? Put the Rangers in Carolina. Neither of them would have conflicts unless there's a concert at one of their arenas. They don't have NBA conflicts. Couldn't you put them on the night Florida was supposed to play?
My guess is the entire schedule was built for the Rangers on television, right? That's what you want.
Yeah, maybe.
The schedule is built for the Rangers.
But every game's on TV. They're all going to be on TV in the 7 o'clock window, those
two
games.
They are, but you might cater for certain nights. Huh. I mean, of all the teams that are left, your big cash cow, you've got the Rangers and everybody else.
Yeah, that's accurate in terms of markets.
And Colorado's and, really fun to watch. Florida's the best team. Tampa's the cup champs.
Right. But you're not looking at it from a marketing standpoint.
No,
you're looking at it from a hockey fan standpoint. Yeah. I just also wonder, I can see where if you're the NHL, again, you're working with building availabilities in Florida and Tampa. So maybe you're right. Maybe they had to be. But to be locked in on that many conflicts, like I could see maybe one or two nights might be unavoidable. Hey, there's nothing we can do. We have to play the Panthers on this night. We know the Heat are playing at home against the Celtics. I can't believe over the course of an entire series you'd be locked in more often than you would not. So I'm going to guess they just actually don't care about that stuff, that the NHL does its own schedule, working with its TV partners, and don't have to worry about a conflict because the Panthers and the Heat are using different buildings. And they figure the Panthers are going to sell the game out whether the Heat are home that night or not.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, maybe it's not a big deal.
Would you bet the Sabres to win a playoff series before the Leafs?
I didn't want to say anything, but, you know, as much fun as we were having about the Leafs, when they showed the graphic of the team that has the teams with the longest droughts of playoff series wins, the Leafs are number one.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's number two? Yeah, you know, because he's staring at me. 2007. The Sabres have a second long. So as much fun as I'm making of the Leafs, the Sabres do. The Panthers hadn't won a playoff series since 96. They won.
But the Sabres have only been to the playoffs twice.
Well, see, that's the thing. So I'm waiting as I tweet
since
out.
Since then.
I'm tweeting out stats about how the Leafs have been losing all the time. I'm waiting for Leaf fans to go, hey, at least we make the playoffs. Like, do you guys know you haven't been there for 11 years?
Can you imagine anything better than next year having a first-round matchup with the Leafs?
Oh, that would be delightful. I got to be honest with you. Incredibly stressful.
The rewards.
I might actually leave town.
The rewards would be incredible.
But because if they beat Toronto,
you'd have the Sabres who, I mean, if they're that kind of team, they're playing with no pressure. And the Leafs are playing with the weight of the world on them.
Yeah.
And the Sabres always beat the Leafs, pretty much.
But maybe the Leafs will get respect in the handshake line. Can you imagine? I can't even.
It would be so great.
That would be so funny if they haven't played Toronto in playoffs since the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
Yeah.
Have to have Rob Ray on retirement.
99?
Yeah. That would be amazing if the Sabres snapped their drought and extended the Leafs drought at the same time to a seventh straight first round, opening round exit. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We were talking betting and football a moment ago. We'll do more of that when we continue. Dave Mason's going to join us, the sportsbook brand manager for Bet Online. We're going to talk a little bit about, well, the Bills, what kind of activity they're seeing with the Bills, with the Super Bowl, with Josh Allen, with the MVP. We'll find out who the hot bets are, you know, what teams are drawing the most interest. Give you a little bit of some help. Now that the schedule's locked in, we figure we check in on the betting front. That's coming up in a moment. 803-0550, whatever's on your mind this morning. Yes, we are talking about sports this morning. We've also been talking about the shooting on Saturday on the east side. If there's anything you want to talk about, you just want us to listen to you, we're here. Phone lines are always open on that. Whatever else is on your mind, you just want to talk about something from sports from the weekend, that's fine too. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I talk a little bit to Gabe Davis, just a little bit. And, you know, he's a cool dude. Just told me if I need anything and need any help or anything like that, just to let him know. But other than that, no, I'm just I'm excited to see all of them and meet everybody face-to-face. Like I said, I've been watching those dudes for a while. You know, guys like Stephon Diggs, like, to me, that's just mind-blowing. By the way, I'm not the type to sit here and try and be cool and act like I'm this Stephon Diggs, you know. So I'm excited to learn from him, though.
That's funny. Khalil Shakir. That's Stephon Diggs. He's already been Shakir also mentioned he's already been talking to Gabriel Davis about the playbook and a whole bunch of stuff as he preps for his rookie season. Rookie minicamp coverage, by the way, online. Sal's article, his recap from Friday's practice, which was open to the media, is available at WGR550.com. Let's talk a little bit more about betting and football, because we are joined on our Western Hotline by Dave Mason, BetOnline Sportsbook brand manager, BetOnline.ag. We always bother him for prop bets before the Super Bowl. You know what, Dave? I'll tell you what. First off, thank you for coming on. It's Howard and Jeremy. Just give us the prop bets for the Bills Super Bowl right now, and we don't have to bug you again in February.
Odds to win it all, plus 675. They're the favorites, followed by the Buccaneers at plus 800. So yeah, big things are expected from the Bills at Bet Online this year and in every sports book, I believe. So regular season wins, 11.5, also the favorite to win the AFC, AFC East, et cetera. So big things expected from the Bills. You got pressures on, folks.
So listen, you know, I don't know if you want to, how you judge it, whether it's tickets bought or actual money wagered. How is the activity on the Bills as opposed to other teams around the league? Are they one of the hot tickets?
Bet count, yes. They're the most bet team to win the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's kind of, when you factor in the odds, that doesn't mean that's the biggest liability for the book. That goes to the Chargers because, you know, that if a team has longer, you know, you can take a couple bets on a team that's 50-1 and have a bigger exposure than 10 bets on the Bills at plus 675. So there's a lot of things to factor in. But, yes, they do have the highest bet count, but they're not a huge liability for us as of now. Chargers are the biggest liability at 11-1. Followed by the Jets at 100-1. It's always kind of interesting to see how the draft, you know, impacts odds, or not odds, because it really doesn't impact the odds too much, but it impacts people's viewing of a team. You know, a sportsbook guy like myself will tell you that the draft really isn't going to impact the team's Super Bowl chances too much, but the public feels differently. You know, the Jets had that very good draft on paper, and they sure are betting them to win the Super Bowl at 100-1.
Or a quarterback trade. How did the quarterback trade affect what you got on Denver, what you're seeing on Denver?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Quarterback trade always impacts the odds and the action. Denver, without a doubt, they went from, I believe, 35-1 down to – I mean, they dropped all the way down to, I believe, 14-1. Now they've settled at about 20-1. And you know, it's always, those are always one of the ones that kind of the action comes pouring in. Like we got killed on Tom Brady a couple years ago when he chose the Buccaneers. There was early action on the Buccaneers with the whispers, and next thing you know, we had a humongous liability on the Buccaneers.
How long can everybody wait on the Browns? Right, like a lot of lines aren't being posted. Right. You kind of got to wonder, like it's opening day. We're gonna have to toss a win total out there. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big one, right? That's just going to – I mean, you can bet them on the Super Bowl. They're at 20-1. People are betting them to win the Super Bowl. But for win total, yeah, I mean, that's just so big. We need to figure out what's going on with Deshaun Watson here. So that's just going to – who's playing quarterback if it's not Watson? We don't know. I mean, that's just such a big needle mover. Just have to wait on that one. I mean, you know, most of the action comes in late anyways. I mean, the early action's great when the odds open. Then it kind of just dissipates and then kind of stagnant over the summer. And then it picks up like late July, early August. So it's not, I don't think we're missing out too much action. And there's still months to bet that number.
So the schedule coming out has really not much of an impact. I was wondering, Dave, if you guys see maybe an increase in bets when people actually know what games are locked in on what days and stuff.
Feels like it makes it easier to count to the number you might want to bet.
Yep.
No, absolutely. You see a flurry. It's funny, you know, with football and I mean, football's a 365-day sport now. I mean, they do just such a great way, the NFL, of keeping their name in the news cycle. So you see the action when when the once we post the odds after the Super Bowl, there's a flurry, or whenever a prop opens, like the season totals, when they open, and they opened right after the draft. So yeah, anytime right before the schedule release, and then the schedule release, yeah, you see more people, more bets come in. So definitely, when there's these pockets in time during the year during the off season where you just see a bevy of action. If there's a trade, if there's a signing, etc., you'll see a wave of action. Then it kind of slows down till the next big news hits.
We're with Dave Mason, BetOnline.ag Sportsbook brand manager. Back to the Bills for a second. You were talking about them as a team and their Super Bowl and everything. What about Josh Allen? What kind of activity are you seeing with him in the MVP betting?
He's the favorite, without a doubt. He's the favorite. He also has a top bet count. He's 7-1 right now. He's actually co-favorite with Herbert. Herbert's getting bet as well. We also have a liability on him, so he's the highest bet count and the fourth highest liability behind Jalen Hurts, Tagovailoa, and Derek Carr. So people are taking some long shots there. Then it's down to Josh Allen. He's definitely a liability right now and the most favorite bet.
I saw the Jalen Hurts thing, and I couldn't figure that one out.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see certain money come in, do you guys, do you get nervous? Did you, like, second-guess a line or something like that?
Well, sometimes, sure, it's natural. I mean, you know, but y'all, being in this business, I mean, it depends who's betting it. You know, like I said, people bet on these news cycles, especially during the NFL, so – you know, they just gave him some pretty good weapons there in Philly, and that's what happens, right? If they didn't have A.J. Brown, they didn't trade for A.J. Brown that draft day, you know, this is what Jalen Hurts wouldn't be seeing as many bets as he is now. So what did we do? You know, we moved the odds a little bit and to mitigate some risk and give some value on some other players and, you know, so on and so forth. But, I mean, I'm a Philly guy, so I hope the bettors are right, but I'm not holding my breath. I'm looking at the odds, and he has shorter odds than Dak Prescott. So I the two NFC East quarterbacks there, that doesn't really make sense to me. But who knows?
Thinking about the favorite for that. How often does the favorite win? It feels like the MVP. You know, you obviously have to have a good season, but you also. I think you also kind of have to have a name already out there that people know, because it is something that's voted on by writers. So you have to, I almost feel like you have to come up short a couple times, and then there's some bias, right? There's some human element to it where writers or whoever it is that votes finally gives it to you because you had the good season and you've been an MVP candidate. I'm thinking about Allen a couple of years ago not winning it, and how it's Rodgers, it's Brady. Lamar got it the 1 year kind of out of nowhere. It just feels right. Like once you're a made man in that conversation, you can get back a little more easy.
No, absolutely. It's one of the things with a lot of factors, right? The player's got to be great. The team's got to be successful, and the writers got to side with you, you know? You have to win sexy, too. You know, you can't just be steady. You need to have some of those big games on national TV that sways the audience and the writers and whomever. So yeah, how many – I mean, I'm looking back right now. Rodgers won it last year. I don't think he was – now, he wasn't the favorite because he had all that off-season stuff. I mean, he was up there. All these guys are up there. Rodgers, again, the year before. Lamar Jackson, I don't think he was. I'm going to memory. Mahomes in 2018, he was right near the top. Brady before that, he was definitely near the top, maybe the favorite that year. So I'm not sure exactly. They're always quarterbacks. So, you know, they're just about always. So there's no real, you know, method to our madness is how we create the odds. It's just, okay, the big name quarterbacks on the good teams who put up big numbers, they're up front. And if anybody sneaks in, we got a whole season to figure out the odds.
The coach of the year? Who are the hot guys there that you're seeing?
Dan Campbell, he's getting that big. Again, some of, you know, these coach of the year odds are somewhat long, but yeah, I mean Sean McDermott's the favorite at 10-1. He's getting big. He has the second biggest liability for us, but Dan Campbell's liability is huge at 14-1. Who else is getting bet here? Nick Sirianni, Philly guy. Once again, I'm a Philly guy. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that works out. Mike McDaniel, he's getting bet. Like I said, Sean McDermott, he's the second highest bet count. So liabilities, McDermott's number two, Campbell's number one, Belichick's number three at 25-1, Lovie Smith somehow 33-1, Nick Sirianni at whatever he is, 14-1, yeah.
Hey, the other thing I want to bring up, Dave, before we let you go, I saw the odds came out for week one, and 10 home teams are underdog, which I guess is a record. Any rhyme or reason? It's just how the schedule fell or yeah. What?
Yeah, it's just how the schedule fell. I mean, I was looking at that too, you know, where there's no double-digit spreads, and that kind of goes hand in hand with home dogs, you know. So it's going to be a tight one. It's going to be interesting week one. I mean, what I was thinking, we always have this big survivor pools, and that's going to be week one's going to be a tough week for survivor pools because there's just no big home favorites that are no-brainer picks. It's going to be an interesting week one.
I always thought like with home, when you guys set odds, okay, we always talk mm-hmm. about how, well, it sounds like the home team automatically gets 3 points. A, right. Is that true? B, has the home team formula changed because more road teams have won? There's less of a home field advantage in recent years.
Yeah, there is. There is less of a home field advantage. Three used to be the number. It's about that. I mean, it's not huge, right. But it varies to 2.5, 2.5 points. Some places are three. So the COVID year kind of screwed things up mm-hmm. too. That was kind of learning on the fly there. That was one of those things with no crowds and all that. It's like, oh God, what do we do here? We kind of learned on the fly there. And so you kind of had to throw that year in the dumpster and not really use that data. But home field advantage definitely has changed a bit.
Dave Mason with us. Excuse me. Sportsbook brand manager for betonline.ag. Dave, thanks very much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you before the Super Bowl.
Can't wait. Hopefully it's the Eagles. Eagles-Bills. How about that? That's fine.
I don't care about the NFC team. I'm just worried who's in there from the AFC.
Well, I'm a Philly guy. Come on, man. All right, guys.
That's fine.
Take care.
All right, Dave. Thank you. Home field advantage. Home teams were favored last season, according to ESPN stats. Home teams were favored by only 1.65 points last season, third lowest in the Super Bowl era, behind 2020, which would have been the pandemic season, and 1969. I don't have an explanation as to why 1969 was one of those years. Home teams covered the spread 48% of the games last season. They've had a losing record against the spread in 15 of the last 18 seasons and the last four in a row. There are your betting notes for this morning.
We mentioned the PGA Championships coming up this week from Southern Hills. So round one is Thursday. We've got some media stuff coming up this week. One thing that is out there, beer prices. Beer prices at Southern Hills if you want to attend the PGA Championship. Yeah. So I clicked on the link.
Where it will be hot and you might want a beverage.
Clickbait, right? I took the bait. PGA Championship beer prices are outrageous. Click. Because when I read that, I think, okay.
What's an outrageous beer price?
What's outrageous?
Ooh, I love that question.
Because you would expect sporting event beer price going to be on the high side.
Okay.
Outrageous. All right. Click. Scroll. See. And?
Do we get the answer?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk this thing over. I'm going to guess SOP for like a cup of beer at sporting events is over $10, right? Somewhere between $10-$15.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to hear an outrageous beer price, it's got to be over $25, right?
I was thinking 25, like wow, 15. I'm upset.
Stop now. You've gone too far. It's not 25.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's $18 for a beer.
I'm still upset.
That is outrageous. It's definitely outrageous.
You get a beer now at a game. You're paying over $10, right?
Well, there are different sizes. This is a standard big can of Schmick Schmaltra. Is $18.
I thought maybe it'd be like a big beer. Like a giant.
I'm definitely
cup of
doing
beer.
A double take. Like when they're like $18, I'm like,
wow.
Did I hear that right? Are you sure?
That's a lot of money for one beer.
A seltzer, a Schmick Schmaltra seltzer, is $19.
I'm furious.
What's it cost to buy a case of beer these days?
Depends on the can.
$18?
Depends on the beer.
Okay, see, I know I've seen beer for over $10 at games.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I thought it had to be over $20.
$18 for a can. Not for a 24-ounce tall boy.
Yeah, no, I thought maybe it was a big
can.
Big beer.
Standard, slim can. $18 at the PGA Championship.
Two words, bottled water.
It's probably like $12.
Yeah.
Probably.
When you can go and buy it for like a buck and a half in the market, which, and I'm going to guess you can't bring your own beer and water onto the course as a fan. Not a patron, right? Fans at the PGA Championship, patrons at the Masters, right? I want to make sure I got that right. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We will we'll have some hockey talk, by the way, coming up top of the hour. Mr. Paul Hamilton was in Rochester yesterday. The Amerks won their playoff game. Big night for J.J. Paterka. Arttu Ruotsalainen's having a whale of a playoff run for the Amerks. They're one game away from knocking out Utica and moving on to the third round. So we'll check in with Paul on some, and we'll get his thoughts on the second round matchups in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's coming up at the top of the hour on WGR.
Got a little rain on the way today, which is...
That's not good.
Well, we had a really dry week.
I know.
And, you know, a lot of things happen when it gets a little drier out there.
What happens?
Well, one thing that happens is that for Western New York's golf community, everybody gets a little stronger, gets a little... All of a sudden, we're jacked, we're swole.
Your drives are going a little longer?
Yeah, you get some roll out there. After a spring of, you know, hit a drive, it plugs, it bounces 1 foot. Sometimes drives will bounce backwards when it's really wet. When it's nice and dry like this, it's like hitting on airport tarmac out there. It's great.
How does it affect your green performances?
Well, if the greens are well maintained, they're supposed to receive shots.
Uh-huh.
It can be a little tougher to stop.
So you're good with it. You'd much prefer dry with the roll and the bounce you get on your shots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, factoring in if you get more roll, you can play a shorter club and mm-hmm. you know, be more accepting of the greens to
But
take
your
a shot
approach at. Shots aren't necessarily sticking when they hit the green then. If it's softer, right, wouldn't it just kind of plunk down? You're going to get a little bit of a...
Greens are supposed to do that. And okay. If you're closer, you're playing a higher angled club.
And you always hit the green in regulation.
Oh, anyway, every time, so. Every time. Yeah, yeah. Right. And of course, all the fairways.
Fairways.
That are, yeah, that's
sure.
how I knew.
Sure.
I hit them all.
Sure.
I played. Played this week with Mike Lizakowski, a bunch of the guys in the 11-day power play. They're
very
getting
good.
Started in a little over a month. Got my 100 holes of golf I got to play.
That's June?
Coming up June 23rd, 100 holes of golf.
You're
doing
in
that
training,
again.
Obviously. That's why you're golfing so much.
Right.
You have to
right.
get in training.
Got
to
stay in shape for that.
Mm-hmm, of course.
So 100 holes of golf coming up. That'll be June 23rd. We're doing that for the Courage of Carly Foundation and the Luca Colani Foundation as well. So, you know, I'll be tweeting about that. I'm starting to line up my wardrobe. My change, 5 different outfits. You
is that
know?
What it is? 5 over the course of
five
your
and a half. Goals? There's 5 and a half.
Every 20 holes you change?
It's 5 and a half rounds of golf. Every 18, I'll change, yeah. So anyway, looking forward to that. A little rain today on the way, but we had an incredible week of weather. It was beautiful.
It was out all weekend doing stuff, getting caught up on projects around the house, cleaning this, cleaning that. But I don't need any rain today. The grass is pretty high. It needs to be cut.
Yeah. It was, of course, a weekend marred by a horrible event mm-hmm. in the midst of a beautiful day. Did you go out at all on Sunday?
Yeah, it was out. I mean, just doing stuff outside. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't go anywhere.
I went to, you know, the store to buy stuff. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that before, whenever there's a shooting, if it's the movie theater shooting, the next time you go to the movies,
right.
if it's a grocery store, if it's right. a this or that. You know, I just kind of, I don't know if everybody does or anybody does. I think about it.
I'm going today to get some groceries. I honestly don't know if I... I don't know.
If you'll think about it.
I don't know if I would have thought about it. Now that you bring it up. Yeah.
There was, you know, one thing I think it's important to do is to, you know, learn the names, tweet the stories of the victims and some of the people. And, you know, it's just the level, of course, of the tragedy and how horrific it is and how unfair it is. And then you find just the randomness that one of the women who was killed, she was visiting her husband in the nursing home, and
she had stopped
at Tops or something to eat.
But she goes there every day to help him out and take care of the mm-hmm. guy who's in the nursing home, and I just thought, oh my goodness.
These are people that yep. were a woman, Celestine, with 7 grandkids, mm-hmm. you know. Another woman spending time with family to help her brother recover from a bone marrow transplant. You know, like just,
had just run to get some food. Just ran to the store to get some groceries. Yeah.
And it's just the indiscriminate just randomness. Just it's awful. It's awful. It's of course it was with intent, so that part of it's not random. It's not random.
You know, no, it's always the hurt is even there's hurt. and then you identify names. It's not just a number. It's not just 10 victims. You learn who the 10 people are, and you learn their stories, and it's difficult because now you see and you hear, you see ages, you see, you learn about their lives, you learn about, you know, this person's mother or this person's spouse or this person's taking care of a relative who's not feeling well, ran to the store to just get a few things. And when you start hearing, learning the names and learning the backstories of the people, it just, it humanizes everything. It's not just a number staring up at the screen for you.
I want to read an email that I got earlier today. David emailed me random thoughts about Saturday. And what he said was, it didn't really hit me until two things occurred on Sunday. The first was watching Sunday's coverage and looking at the address of the Tops. It's 10 minutes for me. It's rattling to think how close it happened near my home. The second was people reaching out to me. Usually I'm the friend calling people to make sure they're all okay. But yesterday and Saturday was the exact opposite. Spooky, weird, oddly emotional. And I, you know, when this was happening on Saturday, I said to my wife, how long before our out-of-state relatives call us?
Oh, for
ask
sure.
Ask if we're okay.
Yep.
And, like, you know, sometimes social media is so judgmental and toxic that I saw people were using Facebook. This is a normal thing to do when there's a shooting. You mark yourself safe. This is such a routine in our country that the social media platform allows you to mark yourself safe from an event.
I didn't think about relatives when I saw the news. 423, I still have the 423 was the first text I got from one of my brothers. Yeah. Are you two okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're fine. But, it, you know, it's not near us and all. And then I realized, oh my God, I better call my other brother. I got to call my mom. My mom will see mass shooting in Buffalo and she'll freak out and cousins. Right. And all of a sudden, all the text started coming in.
What I was getting at there is social media is such a place that's judgmental and toxic and on a lot of levels. It's got a lot of value too. That people would mark in as safe and other people would criticize them. Like, of course you are. What are you worried about? And it's like,
but that's how you get the word out to
You have, you have friends and family outside of Buffalo.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, anyway, I had my cousin from Australia call.
It's like, amazing we're at a point in our lives where you use social media to tell people, when there's a mass shooting in your town, don't worry, I'm fine. But, yeah, I honestly didn't think about that. But that's how you let everybody know you're okay.
Anyway.
Quickly, because I know we're late, but also our colleagues over at WBEN have all the information. A lot of people want to donate food, want to donate money. The Buffalo Community Fridge maxed out. They're not taking any monetary donations, and I believe they maxed out. They don't have room for all the food that's been donated. But there are other places you can go to help out. WBEN has all the details. There are GoFundMe pages. Separate GoFundMe pages have been set up for some of the victims, the families of the victims of the shooting. Also, since the Tops on Jefferson is still closed and it's the only supermarket in the area, if you're around there and you need to get to the supermarket, from what BEN told me, Uber and Lyft have special codes. So if you go to their sites, you can get a special code. They will provide you service cars to get to, and I believe there are community shuttles as well, to help people who need to find the next nearest supermarket. Uber and Lyft have some special code set up, and there are community shuttles that are set up to help you out to get your groceries as well. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.